Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. On March 20th, the United Nations celebrated its third annual International Day of Happiness. So, happy belated International Day of Happiness. The UN created the holiday to include happiness as an indicator as to how we are succeeding as a global community.
In 2012, the UN Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, said that for too long, the world has used gross national product to measure the well-being of a country's population. In other words, the amount of money people made. Money certainly does help a country's and a person's well-being. But it is not the only factor.
So you might be asking, where are the happiest people on the planet? If you live in Latin America, chances are you are happy, according to Gallup's Positive Experience Index. This Gallup index found that day-to-day, people in Latin America are some of the happiest people on the planet.
In fact, for the first time in Gallup's 10-year history of global tracking of happiness, all the top 10 countries with the highest Positive Experience Index scores are in Latin America. Here they are in descending order of happiness. 1. Paraguay. 2. Colombia. 3. Ecuador. 4. Guatemala. 5. Honduras. 6. Panama. 7. Venezuela. 8. Costa Rica. 9. El Salvador. 10. Nicaragua.
Gallup representatives asked adults in 143 countries the following questions. Did you feel well rested yesterday? Were you treated with respect all day yesterday? Did you smile or laugh a lot? Did you learn or do something interesting?
They compiled the yes responses from these questions into what they call a Positive Experience Index score for each country. The index score for the world in 2014 is 71. This number has remained steady through the years. More than 70% of people worldwide said they had fun, smiled or laughed a lot, felt well rested, and respected.
Gallup gathered the information from face-to-face and phone interviews with about 1,000 adults from each country. They spoke with people in both rural and urban areas.
It is perhaps not surprising that places that experienced conflict, such as South Sudan and Ukraine, and places that suffered or are suffering from Ebola, scored quite low on the Positive Experience Index. However, even in places where the fewest people reported having positive emotions, such as Afghanistan, the majority of people still said they smiled or laughed a lot the day before the Gallup interview.
Gallup found that the area of the world with the lowest positive emotions is in the Middle East and North Africa region. However, Gallup did not gather data from several countries in the Middle East in time to be included in the 2014 results. For example, data from Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates are not included. The UAE usually scores well on happiness surveys.
Last year, Syria had the lowest positive emotion points ever reported. Syria is not included in this year's study, as data was not available at the time the Gallup report was written. Gallup's happiness poll also found that having money is not necessarily the key to happiness. Guatemala is one of the poorest countries in the world in terms of gross domestic product, GDP, but ties for second when it comes to positive emotions.
The United Nations did a much larger survey in 2013, called the World Happiness Report. Chances are, Latin American countries will not be happy with this report.
After a short break, we will hear about the 10 happiest countries according to this UN poll. In the first half of today's program, we heard a list from Gallup, a polling company, of the 10 happiest countries. Next, we hear about results from a much larger poll on happiness.
The authors of the UN report considered factors such as healthy life expectancy at birth, freedom to make life choices, a country's social support systems, and experience with corruption. They also used some Gallup poll results on happiness.
The authors of the larger UN study say it is important when you measure for happiness that you separate happiness as an emotion and happiness as an evaluation of a person's well-being. For example, the answer to, "Do you feel happy right now?" is a measure of a person's emotion. And the answer to, "Are you happy with your life as a whole?" measures an evaluation of a person's well-being.
The Gallup poll on positive experience focused on how people felt the day before the survey. However, the larger UN study focused on a person's life as a whole. The results were quite different. In the UN report, Denmark and other Scandinavian countries were in the top 10 of the happiest places on Earth. Number 1, Denmark. Number 2, Norway. Number 3, Switzerland. Number 4, the Netherlands. Number 5, Sweden. Number 6, Canada. Number 7, Finland. Number 8, Austria. Number 9, Iceland. Number 10, Australia. According to the United Nations report, several sub-Saharan African countries, where poverty is high, were among the least happy. But other results did not fall along clear economic lines. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. There are many American expressions about insects, like bees, for example. Bees are known as very hard workers. They always appear to be busy, moving around in their homes or hives. So you might say you were as busy as a bee if you spent your weekend cleaning your house. In fact, you might say your house was a beehive of activity if your whole family was helping you clean. You also might say you made a beeline for something if you went there right away. When we go to see a movie, my friend always makes a beeline for the place where they sell popcorn. Here is an expression about bees that is not used much anymore, but we like it anyway. We think it was first used in the 1920s. If something was the best of its kind, you might say it was the bee's knees. Now, we admit that we do not know how this expression developed. In fact, we do not even know if bees have knees. If your friend cannot stop talking about something because she thinks it is important, you might say she has a bee in her bonnet. If someone asks you a personal question, you might say, "That is none of your beeswax." This means none of your business. Speaking of personal questions, there is an expression people sometimes use when their children ask, "Where do babies come from?" Parents who discuss sex and reproduction say this is talking about the birds and the bees. Hornets are bee-like insects that sometimes attack people. If you are really angry, you might say you are mad as a hornet. And if you stir up a hornet's nest, you create trouble or problems. Butterflies are beautiful insects, but you would not want to have butterflies in your stomach. That means to be nervous about having to do something, like speaking in front of a crowd. You would also not want to have ants in your pants. That is, to be restless and unable to sit still. Here are some expressions about plain old bugs, another word for insects. If a friend keeps asking you to do something you do not want to do, you might ask him to leave you alone or stop bugging me. A friend also might tell you again and again to do something. If so, you might say he put a bug in your ear. If you were reading a book in your warm bed on a cold winter's day, you might say you were snug as a bug in a rug. And if you wish someone good night, you might say, "Sleep tight, don't let the bedbugs bite." This VOA Special English Program was written by Shelley Gullist. I'm Faith Lapidus. You can find more words and their stories at voaspecialenglish.com.
I'm Gwen Utin.
And I'm Doug Johnson with People in America,
in VOA Special English. Today, we tell the story of a man called Buffalo Bill. His real name was William F. Cody. He created Wild West shows that people around the world enjoyed for more than 30 years.
William Frederick Cody was born in 1846 in the state of Iowa. He died in Colorado in 1917. Researchers disagree about other incidents in his life. That is because some stories about Buffalo Bill are a combination of factual events and make-believe. However, there is general agreement about the influence of Buffalo Bill Cody. People say he represented the spirit and tradition of the American West.
William F. Cody grew up in the center of the United States. William's family moved from Iowa to the territory of Kansas when he was still a child. His father died in 1857. A short time later, William started working at different jobs to help his family. He worked as a driver for a team of oxen. He guided the powerful animals as they moved goods from place to place. He also carried messages for a local company. Later, William joined a group of men seeking gold in the mountains of Colorado. They were not very successful. Then he got a job as a Pony Express rider. The Pony Express used teams of men and horses to transport mail across the country. William was a skilled rider. Once, he rode 515 kilometers in a single trip. This was one of the longest rides for the Pony Express. At the time, he was just 15 years old.
Kansas became a state in 1861. A few weeks later, the Civil War between the states started. Southern states fought to protect the rights of individual states. Northern states fought to keep the country united. During the war, Kansas joined with the North and provided men for the Union Army. William was too young to fight when the Civil War started. At first, he served the Union forces as a scout or explorer. He assisted in military campaigns against two Indian tribes, the Kiowa and Comanche. In 1864, he joined the United States Army. Cody became a member of the 7th Kansas Cavalry. His force was sent to nearby southern states during the Civil War. Cody drove a team of horses. He remained there until the war ended.
After the war, William Cody married Louisa Frederici in St. Louis, Missouri. They were married for more than 50 years and had 4 children. When they were first married, Cody had many different jobs. For example, he operated a hotel in Kansas. Then he began hunting buffalo for work crews building the Kansas Pacific Railroad. The workers used the wild animals for meat. Cody got the name Buffalo Bill by winning a buffalo hunting competition. Reports say he shot and killed more than 4,000 buffalo in just 18 months.
Cody rejoined the army in 1868. He served as a civilian scout for military forces fighting Indians in the West. His experience and skills made him an able fighter and guide for the army. Cody helped the 5th Cavalry defeat a group of Cheyenne warriors. He also served as a guide for individuals who wanted to hunt buffalo. Some hunters came from big cities in the eastern United States and from other countries. Once, he guided a member of Russia's ruling family, the Grand Duke Alexis, on a hunting trip. American newspapers reported on their activities.
Cody's exciting life provided the details for many stories. A number of writers began producing stories about famous people of the Western United States. These stories became known as dime novels. Dime novels helped make heroes of people like Davy Crockett and Kit Carson. A writer named Ned Buntline decided to write a book about Buffalo Bill. Buntline's book and newspaper reports helped make Cody famous. The book became popular and was later made into a play called Scouts of the Prairie. Buffalo Bill even appeared in the show. Critics said Cody was a bad actor, but the show was very successful. The play led Cody to form his own traveling show. The group included another hero of the American West, Wild Bill Hickok.
During this period, Cody often returned to the West to find other work. He assisted the Army in its operations against Indian tribes. In 1876, Indian warriors defeated General George Custer and his forces in the Battle of Little Bighorn in Montana. A few weeks later, Cody and other soldiers clashed with a group of Cheyenne Indians. During the fighting, Cody reportedly killed a Cheyenne warrior named Yellow Hair. This event added yet another incident to Buffalo Bill's collection of stories. Cody liked the idea of being a showman and telling people about the American West. In 1879, he wrote his own life story and began publishing his own dime novels. He also continued to produce plays.
Cody organized his first Wild West show in 1882 in the state of Nebraska. The show was performed outside. It was designed to entertain and educate crowds of people. There were cowboys, Indians, buffalo, and other kinds of animals. People were not sure exactly what the show was, but they liked it. The following year, Cody and his business partners formed a traveling show called Buffalo Bill's Wild West. It brought cowboys and Indians to people in parts of the United States who might never have seen them. The show was a major success for the next 30 years. People liked it for many reasons. One was a desire to return to earlier, simpler times. The American West of the dime novels was fast disappearing. The area was starting to develop.
Buffalo Bill's Wild West show included cowboys hunting buffalo. It had riders for the Pony Express. It recreated an Indian attack on a carriage transporting goods. The show also recreated the attack against General Custer and his forces. It included Indians who were involved in the real attack. It also included the famous Sioux chief Sitting Bull, who had killed General Custer. Sitting Bull traveled with Buffalo Bill's Wild West show for several months. In later years, a cowgirl named Annie Oakley performed with the show. She was one of the best gun shooters in the country. Annie Oakley could ride a horse standing up while shooting at a target. She could shoot a piece of money out of someone's hand. Once, she became famous for shooting a cigarette held in the mouth of German Crown Prince Wilhelm. Buffalo Bill's Wild West performed in cities and towns across the United States and in Europe. In 1887, the show performed in England, in honor of Queen Victoria's 50th anniversary in power. 6 years later, the show was popular at the World's Fair in Chicago, Illinois.
Buffalo Bill Cody was said to be the most famous American in the world by the beginning of the 20th century. American presidents met with him to discuss issues important to the West. He had many modern ideas. For example, he supported fair treatment for American Indians. And he supported equal pay and equal voting rights for women. He was also a businessman who looked toward the future. He invested in projects that he hoped would bring economic growth to the West. Cody made a lot of money from his show business success. However, he lost his wealth because of bad investments and failure to watch how the money was used. In 1908, Buffalo Bill's Wild West combined with another traveling show. But this show failed. A short time later, Cody got a loan from a Colorado company to keep his show operating. But his financial situation got worse over the next few years.
Buffalo Bill Cody died in 1917 while visiting his sister in Denver, Colorado. He was buried near the city at the top of Lookout Mountain. His funeral was a major event. 20,000 people traveled there to attend the ceremony. Today, thousands of people visit Lookout Mountain every year. They see Cody's burial place and a museum built in his honor. And they hear stories about people who experienced the excitement of Buffalo Bill's Wild West show.
This program was written by George Groh. Lawan Davis was the producer, and our recording engineer was John Ellison. I'm Doug Johnson.
And I'm Gwen Uten. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.